It is the Monday afternoon show, 4 to 6 p.m. I will be here. Kieran is your host, and we have two very special guests today. Here we go. It's somewhat last minute, and I just want to welcome, especially to talk about what we have talked about before here on the show somewhat. I believe we had, was it Mary Finneran? Are you familiar with the name? Would you introduce yourself?
I am Arielle Herman. I am a resident and small business owner in Catskill.
Okay, Arielle, is that with two L's?
Two L's and an E.
Two L's and an E. And we also have Dad in the studio. Dad, George Riley, just literally passing through town saying hi. He wants to hear what's going on with the Pilgrim Pipeline?
Pilgrim Pipeline.
And isn't this plural?
Yes. Okay. We tend to refer to it as the Pilgrim Pipelines because it is, in fact, a set of two pipelines, one bringing crude oil south and the other bringing finished products such as gasoline north.
Okay, so we want to hear about bomb trains, about misplaced ideals in the fossil fuel industry, and pipelines going through your beautiful Catskill Preserve, right down to the, what are they called, LNG factories down in New Jersey, liquid natural gas. Is that what they do? They send it down there to be liquefied or refined, or what's going on?
Well, this is not natural gas. This is actually crude oil that they're sending down to Linden to be processed.
To be processed. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the liquid. They process it, which is a different thing. We'll get into that a little bit. So I have a lot to learn, and I'm looking forward to it. Arielle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Dad, welcome
to
the show.
Good to be here.
All right. Arielle, thank you for joining us, and big shout out to Sam Sebrin, who helped facilitate this today and send you this general direction to talk about what's going on across the river. So what is going on?
Well, I first learned about Pilgrim Pipelines a little over a year ago. I had recently purchased a property for my new business, and I immediately started getting these weird voicemails. Somebody kept calling and saying, I have a financial opportunity for you, which sounds absurd. So I thought it was a joke and I kept ignoring it. And he kept calling every single day. And eventually I just looked it up. I mean, he had mentioned Pilgrim Pipeline. So I Googled it and I found out this was an actual thing and a really scary thing. So I did want some more information, so I did reach out to him, and I've had quite a few conversations with him, actually, which are interesting. And at the same time that he was threatening some of my neighbors with eminent domain, he was reassuring me that if I was not interested in having a construction road being built through my property to build the pipelines, that Pilgrim would absolutely respect that. So they've been giving different stories to even, you know, one next-door neighbor and another about what their plans are.
So he called you up. Did he kind of just want to be your friend at first?
Oh, yeah, really chummy.
So go out for really coffee, maybe?
Yeah, super friendly. Oh, my chair just dropped.
Oh, whoops. Yep. You can call 518-828-0290 to help donate. Our chairs seem to be malfunctioning. Arielle just dropped like Michael Dukakis, about 6 inches.
And I'm short already, so I can barely reach the mic.
Okay. There you go. I think there we go. Now
I think I'm settled like just off the floor here.
There you go. All right. So he really wanted to be your friend, and your property was more about a construction road, but he was telling other neighbors something about eminent domain. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, they tell different people different stories, depending on whatever they think is going to manipulate someone into complying, basically. I guess I might have given him the impression that I don't scare easily. I don't know what it was that he was reading, but he wasn't trying to scare me. He was trying to reassure me of what a great opportunity this would be, at the same time that he was actually threatening some of my neighbors, which I found out a little down the line.
So he was offering you money?
Well, theoretically, I mean, he kept using the phrase financial opportunity, but he never actually told me what they were willing to offer. Never. First, they wanted to get on my property, which I refused to allow them to do before they would even consider speaking numbers. So I have no idea. From what they've offered other people, it seems like it would likely be pretty pathetic, especially in exchange for destroying all of our property values.
Let's just back up a second, Ariel, just to clarify, where is your property? It's in Catskill?
Yes, yes. Okay. It's my business is Rivertide Aikikai. It's on Old Kings Road in Catskill. And it's not right adjacent to the thruway. It's pretty close. And
say one more time, river?
Rivertide Aikikai. We practice Aikido. It's a Japanese martial art.
No way.
Yeah, about...
I used to, when I was a kid, I was a big Steven Seagal fan.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you get it.
He's our claim to fame until recently with The Walking Dead, so...
What happened?
With The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I didn't see
it. Oh, they keep talking about the art of peace, which is what Aikido is referred to, is the art of peace, or the art of harmonizing with the universal energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And along that path, we've actually put solar panels on our dojo at the same time that this... crude oil pipeline is trying to destroy.
This is interesting. now the wheels are turning. All right, I'm thinking Aikido is also a method of using the force of your opponent,
yes,
and turning it around 180 degrees and sending it back an equal or if not double the force back at your opponent.
Absolutely.
Pilgrim, here we come. So how do you do that?
Well,
okay, moving on. So you're in Catskill. You have a business, happens to be an amazing business. I did not know that. And the pipeline would go right there. This is good to know because it's right in our listening area. We got people across the river in Catskill, in Greene County,
yes,
you know, listening right now, who this could very well affect their backyard. So this is right in Catskill.
Absolutely.
Okay, wanted to clarify.
Yeah. And a number of my immediate neighbors on Old Kings Road are concerned that they could lose their businesses or their homes as well because of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he starts calling you up. There may be financial incentive, talks about construction road. Do they actually, how does a mega corporation like this actually invoke eminent domain?
Well, apparently, once they incorporate as a New York State pipeline transportation company, they are imbued with quite the potential authority to condemn properties under eminent domain. Pilgrim Pipeline LLC is a company out of Connecticut, but they, as soon as they could, they incorporated as a pipeline transportation company within New York State so that they could attain potential eminent domain authority, which they plan to use. They plan to try. We'll see.
Yeah. So how is the movement across the river now? What's Mary Finneran up to these days, and what how's it looking?
Well, there's been a lot of activity around the lead agency issue. The New York State Thruway was trying to take lead agency status on this project, which would give them a lot of authority to make decisions about how and if and this project would go through, which 25 out of the 29 New York towns agreed and sent letters into the DEC saying this is not appropriate. There's a conflict of interest since the New York State Thruway would be receiving lease money since a lot of this project is deemed to go along the Thruway right of way. And just about 2 hours ago, the DEC has actually released their decision on lead authority, and they say that they're going to be...
supporting?
They're going to have a co-lead between the DEC and the New York State Thruway Authority, which is completely absurd. This does not change the fact that the Thruway Authority has a very clear conflict of interest, that they don't have the experience or the manpower or the knowledge to deal with all of these environmental issues, these emergency response issues, these economic issues. There's so many layers that need to be addressed in terms of how this is going to affect residents of every single town that this pipeline, that these pipelines plan to go through.
And what does LEAD stand for?
It's not an acronym, just LEAD agency, the agency in charge.
The LEAD agency.
Yeah,
okay,
like
so
LEAD
not
agency.
Like LEAD certified. I'm thinking of solar panels or the LEAD certification you could do. So the LEAD agency. Okay, so... So this is not good news coming out of the DEC.
No, it's not. It's very concerning, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Dad, what do you think? You're weighing in on this. You look like in deep thought over there. What do you...
Well, I guess the obvious question for me is, what can the average person do? You know, what kind of you know, you said 25 of the 29 towns
yes.
have petitioned the DEC saying that it was quite inappropriate
yes.
for the Thruway to be appointed as a lead agency because there was a clear conflict of interest, besides the fact that they're not qualified. But that was obviously ignored.
It certainly seems like it.
My experience with pipelines is that when a pipeline shows up in the picture, democracy tends to go out the window. So given that scenario, what can people do?
Well, right now we want to make sure that people in this area are really aware that this is going to affect them. It's easy to think that if something is occurring, you know, even a mile or two away, that it might be somebody else's problem. The risks are unimaginable. The risks of oil leaks or gasoline explosions, which could completely destroy literally entire communities. But even aside from the huge risks involved in a disaster that could occur, a disaster that could spill into the Hudson River or into our drinking water, there are also huge concerns just in the construction project of building these pipelines. They're going to be doing miles and miles of underground drilling. We don't know how that is going to affect our municipal drinking water, our well water. We do know, we can gather some idea of how this construction will affect traffic in our communities. They plan to build a temporary access road with which to build the pipeline about every mile or so. So that's 37 miles in Greene County. So that's probably about 37 access roads. And of course, the trucks are not going to just levitate from the sky down onto these access roads that are, you know, 1 or 2 miles long. They're going to connect with other roads. I actually have a list here of the roads from Catskill to, I think we mapped up to into Coxsackie so far. The roads that are going to become de facto construction roads. And these include Old Kings Road, Quarterskill Road, Toolhouse Road, Vetter Mountain Road, Paul Horn Road, Mohican Trail, County Route 23B, Forest Hills Avenue, Leeds Athens Road, Vossenkill Road, Old Green Lake Road, County Route 49, Cold Springs Road, Old Plank Road, Van Riper Road, and Route 81. This might not even be a comprehensive list, but these are all roads that are going to be hugely impacted by the construction. There's going to be traffic that's going to impact all of our daily lives. There could be infrastructure damage toward these roadways. The construction equipment that's used to build an oil pipeline is not like the construction equipment that we are used to seeing. And our roads are not necessarily built to withstand those kind of pressures. We're also talking the noise and the sound pollution that we're going to have to deal with as residents, as business owners.
Well, of course, one could say, well, that's all temporary. But when that's all done, the pipeline will be there safely underground. And the pipeline company says this is all monitored. Of course, the pipelines are built to certain standards. So this is all kind of paranoid if someone talks about oil spills. Can you tell us anything about oil spills?
Yes, actually, the prevalence of oil spills from pipelines being built currently is equivalent to spills coming out of the very oldest oil pipelines. It's described as a bathtub curve, where the spills occur most commonly in the oldest and in the newest pipelines. So we're looking at an increase in spills, not a decrease. They love to talk about the new technology and how they're going to build these pipelines so carefully, but the numbers show that it doesn't matter. These spills happen anyway. They happen from human error. They happen from all kinds of different mistakes that are made along many levels. And their new technology, as good as they may think it is, nowhere guarantees that we are safe from spills.
So if we talk about spills, then maybe we should find out what's inside these pipelines.
Yes. So the pipeline that is headed south from Albany, New York, down to Linden, New Jersey, is to carry Bakken crude oil, which would be shipped in by bomb train from North Dakota. And then from Linden back to Albany, New York, is supposed to be a finished product, such as gasoline. Mm-hmm. And I was actually just learning recently about a gasoline pipeline explosion that occurred in 1999 in Washington, where the investigators actually told the residents of this town that they were incredibly lucky that only three people were killed, because the explosion occurred in a park, actually, and in a river. The explosion occurred in a river, and two of those three boys that were killed were only 10 years old.
Washington State, 1999. Well, makes me think of also British Petroleum, Gulf of Mexico.
Absolutely.
Who gets punished for something like this if, you know, an entire body of water, like one-third of the entire body of water that surrounds the country or whatever the Gulf of Mexico is, it's pretty big, gets destroyed? Who, does anyone go to jail? I mean, who, like... What happened? I mean,
yeah. I mean, you could talk about, you know, who gets punished or who's responsible for the cleanup, or, you know, who's financially responsible. But the reality is, the Gulf of Mexico is never going to return to what it was, and we have to consider what would happen to the Hudson River. These pipelines are supposed to cross under the Hudson River twice before they even leave the Albany area, I think.
Yeah, who comes up with this stuff?
People with a lot of money who intend to make a lot more money. And they don't really care how it affects the rest of us.
Now, you also said that one of these pipelines is going to be carrying Bakken crude from North Dakota.
Oh, yes. The same Bakken crude that is not legal to produce in New York, because fracking is not legal in New York.
Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot of machinations going on with various pipeline companies to bring the tar sands into this country. And apparently there are no regulations that prevent a pipeline company from filling a pipeline that was originally licensed or built with the intention of carrying Bakken crude from carrying tar sands pipelines, tar sands oil. And I happen to know that one of the problems with tar sands oil is that its effect on the pipeline itself is dramatically different. Alberta tar sands oil is extremely corrosive. It also is literally mixed with sand, which means it actually eats away at the pipeline. It abrades the pipeline, and this corrosion also eats away at the pipeline, and that the percentage of spills along pipelines that are carrying tar sands oil is much higher because of the corrosive effect of that oil and the chemicals that it's mixed with as well on the pipeline itself.
Yes, and one of these pipelines could very well be used for that purpose. Pilgrim representatives were recently asked at a town meeting whether the direction of the pipelines could potentially be changed, and the answer was yes. So they could, the pipeline that is intended to carry a finished product north, they could change that direction. They could send two pipelines of crude down, or they could change their minds entirely and start shipping tar sands. Hmm. Anything's possible.
Yeah. I'm just curious about the construction, this whole bathtub thing you describe, of how there's actually more pipelines failing now. And I'm wondering if there's a way to investigate the quality of the construction specifically. And I happen to know a little bit about the steel industry and the fact that there's no more American steel. And I don't know what pipelines are constructed out of, but presumably it's metal. And there's steel involved. I happened to be at a pub in Albany one time. I was up there for some reason. I think I was actually bringing scrap metal up for some reason. It was funny because I've been curious about the scrap metal industry, and I guess all this scrap metal is getting shipped out to China. China's buying it up like crazy. They're mixing it all together. They're watering down the steel. They're actually adding industrial waste and just anything metallic into their steel mix. Then they're making cheap, horrible products and tools, shipping them back to Walmart, where we buy a shovel for $9.99 and then it breaks in 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
So they're actually buying up all our steel, making it into horrible products, selling it back to us, and making a profit. The same has got to be true for heavy industry.
I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, one of the big concerns about these oil pipelines is that there is no single agency that regulates the construction. So in a way, it's kind of a Wild West endeavor. To some extent, these people can do whatever they want. I mean, you know, there are certain laws and agencies that have guidelines, but there is no single agency overseeing the building of these pipelines. For example, for gas pipelines, there is a federal agency. The acronym is FERC. I forget what the full name is, but there's a single federal agency
what
that is
FERC?
Responsible. but for oil pipelines, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true for a lot of big contracting. Interesting, interesting. And the Bakken crude, this is also a whole nother thing where they're destroying an entire landscape in North Dakota primarily. I heard an interview with an indigenous woman who was at the climate talks in Paris recently and talking about just the impact on the local communities there of all this Bakken crude. And she was also talking about sexual assault going up also, where you have these guys just flooding the area with bringing a lot of problems to the local economies. And
yeah, I've heard nightmare stories about the man camps, they call them.
Yeah.
Know, where they just shove all the workers into these tiny little camps just so they have somewhere to sleep in between.
Yeah,
working.
There's people who otherwise don't have work. They're flocking to North Dakota, and it's a pretty grim situation. It's exploitation of labor, which has its own subset of issues.
Absolutely.
So the whole thing.
And also the health concerns about fracking itself. I mean, these are reasons why New York State banned fracking. And if we have banned fracking because of health reasons or ethical reasons, how does it make sense that we will ship fracked oil through New York State?
Right.
How is that morally sound?
Right. Interesting point you make there. Well, I would like to take a quick musical break. If that's all right, we'll reconvene. And if you have another minute, maybe we can also talk about Keystone XL and how this ties in a little bit, if you don't mind. And here's a song by Shamar Allen, D1, Paul Sanchez, and Benny of Hot 8. This is a New Orleans group called, this is a New Orleans song called Sorry Ain't Enough No More. It's the BP oil spill song. And it's pretty interesting if you listen
to those
to
affected
lyrics.
In your families, I'm deep.
Keep your sorry won't clean the spill. Save the lives you killed, nor change how I feel. So don't say sorry. That we don't know, but we know how this goes. It's just damage control. To whom it may concern, come here, first things first, tell me, how much is this dead pelican worth? How does it feel to have a man's blood on your shirt? Single-handedly put a whole industry out of work. I don't care who vote it is, nope, but y'all ain't gonna deceive me. Think I'ma sit back and watch the whole river bleed. Only quality time that I had coming from my dad was fishing, and you took that from me. We know the richest oil states are in the south, but you can't bring your rigs in until you wipe the fishing out. Take the livelihood from us, watch the people go broke, and watch a man's greed destroy the whole Gulf Coast. You think my eyes wide shut, but Shamar can see. Keep you sorry, cause sorry ain't gonna do nothing for me. I'm trying to spread the opprobrium to everybody, so that's Transocean, Halliburton, and BP. When the cameras stop, the spotlights go off, the state does still play from all that oil. Yeah, you apologize, you admitted you wrong, but we the ones gotta suffer. That's just irrelevant. It ain't my job to know what went wrong, but I know that in the Gulf ain't where that all belongs.
Talk to them,
we mad and we don't know how to act. This ain't about white or black, it's about green. I'm stating the facts. It's about the lost dreams and jobs. We the ones that suffer. Man, I ain't lying. If it ain't one thing, it's another. I'm on the plane chatting with this lady on my left, trying to make conversation, talking about this BP mess.
Hold up,
I see she's
what you want to do, 'cause we depend on you. Mr. Oil Man, we all know it's true, you can do what you want to do, 'cause we depend on you.
That was Sorry Ain't Enough No More. How true, how true. Sorry is just a word. I mean, it's an important word. But the BP oil spill, over 11 workers dead, the entire Gulf of Mexico ruined, probably for the rest of our lives here on Earth, and countless livelihoods of people ruined, and not one single person went to jail for it. So we've just been chatting during this song about the so-called penalties for the cost of doing business. Turns out it's a capitalist, mathematical, algorithmic, whatever it is, parabola, I don't know, formula, where you just basically take that into account. There's that percentage fact that your pipeline might blow up, you might ruin an entire wilderness in the Catskill Mountains, but
or, you know, river.
Or a river.
Community.
Yeah, or a community, or like you said, in Washington State, to 10-year-olds and an 18-year-old kid just get totally killed one day because a pipeline explodes, and that's actually cheaper for the corporation, for the company, for the pipeline. Is it, what's the name of the corporation? Have we even named the corporation that's building this? Is it Pilgrim?
It's Pilgrim Pipelines.
That's the name of the company.
Yeah, and there's no history because they formed the company
to make this pipeline.
Yes, yes.
Okay. But who's really... Who are these people?
Well, two of
the Illuminati. I mean,
two of the central players in this company are former Koch brother executives. If that
not like
gives
Coca-Cola,
any indication,
that's no. Coke, K-O-C-H.
Okay, they crop up everywhere, don't
oh,
they?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and they, you know, there's no direct correlation. You know, there's no direct line that we've drawn from this. These set of pipelines to other pipeline projects, but if you let the line meander a bit, you can kind of connect these people to other pipeline accidents that there have been huge fines for, many spills, many mistakes, and yet they want to keep doing it.
Well, one of the advantages of starting a new company is that you can't blame that company for prior.
Yes.
Disaster.
Of course.
You start with what looks like a clean slate, at least.
Yes, and Pilgrim Pipelines has a clean slate because it's a brand new company.
Just started. Sort of like Keystone XL had a clean slate, I believe, right? And the reason I wanted to bring that up also, because this is a larger conversation about fossil fuel consumption and climate change. It's about where we as a nation have values and where we place those values, where we have leaders that profess to care about the environment, to care about climate change, to care about life on Earth. You know, they have all these political talking points of us great nation. And then They go and they flirt with this idea of passing a law that allows for something like the Keystone XL. And, Dad, maybe you want to mention, because you actually put your legal record on the line by standing in front of the White House and getting arrested.
I was one of the 1,200 people who stood in front of the White House and got arrested as part of that action several years ago. The company behind the Keystone Pipeline is called Enbridge, and they do have a track record, and it's a pretty dismal track record. They have, I don't know how many thousands of spills in their back pocket. So their assurances that these pipelines are safe isn't necessarily holding a lot of oil.
Pretty good. But what about the also just the idea of carbon and releasing carbon and putting our, you know, last few eggs in the into this basket of fossil fuel consumption with that?
Well, as someone pointed out quite wisely, when you're a politician, your whole life is based on negotiation and compromise. This is how bills get created and passed. You've got one view, you've got another view, you negotiate, you compromise, you come up with a bill that nobody likes, and that becomes the law. But when you start talking about climate change, you're negotiating with Mother Nature. And the fact is that Mother Nature does not negotiate. When the scientists come up with the fact that we now have... If we were going to keep this world to under 2 degrees temperature rise, we would have to leave 80% of the known proven fossil fuel reserves in the ground. In other words, we have 5 times as many fossil fuel reserves already identified than our safe for human life. And even 2 degrees is a question whether civilization can actually exist with the 2 degree rise. It may seem like 2 degree rise might seem like nothing, but the we've already had a fraction of a degree rise, and there have been catastrophic effects. Pacific countries are disappearing, floods, droughts. Talk to anybody who lives in California with their 4-year drought. So it's a question about whether even a 2 degree rise is something that we as a human race could well survive. But nonetheless, assuming that we could survive it, we now have 5 times the amount of fossil fuel that would be required to burn in order to create that 2 degree rise. So what's going to happen with the other 80%? And does it make sense to be constantly building new pipelines and digging and drilling new wells when we already know that what we have already in the ground, if that were to be burned, would be disastrous, would be suicidal for us as a human race?
And with the Paris climate talks, it seems that the world is essentially in consensus on this, that we need to get off of fossil fuels. And we have the technology to do it. I mean, people ask, well, what are we supposed to do? We're so dependent. We're really not. We have the technology. We can keep improving the technology. But solar energy is incredible. Green County itself is in the process of building a 20-acre solar farm for county use. In contrast to what the New York State Thruway is looking to do with Pilgrim Pipelines, the Massachusetts DOT has installed this huge system of solar panels along its highway system.
I've seen them.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And they're getting cheap energy from them. They're getting lease money from them. I mean, why can't the New York State Thruway do something like that instead of building, you know, a 50 or longer year infrastructure for fossil fuels, which we know is literally going to kill us?
Yeah, a lot of these solar panels have been put on old landfills, too, which is otherwise pretty much unusable land.
I've been wondering about the Hudson landfill, if that's something that's ever been considered.
Oh, well, right now it's green space. It's being used as...
It's kind of an impromptu dog park, I think.
I think it was bought by the Columbia Land Conservancy. I think they're trying to get this sort of greenway, this green belt from the Columbia Land Conservancy Park over there. Oh, man, it's been so long. Does that park have a name over at Greenport? I think it's called the Greenport... whatever it is. Beautiful little property up there in Greenport, right along the Hudson River. And it's this idea of creating green space along the river to sort of bring back, you know, the beauty of the Hudson River. Instead of, you know, there was a cement plant proposed for Hudson. This was when I first moved to Hudson, was in the year 2000. And there was a cement plant being proposed. St. Lawrence Cement sunk $65 million into their public relations campaign to try to get the cement plant built. And it looks like they had it wrapped up, but this sort of ragtag bunch of, which my brother was helping out the Friends of Hudson, this organization, he was helping them out, was able to defeat. And
that was a great campaign.
Yeah.
Great graphics.
So you were around for then?
I remember seeing all those signs. They were really eye-catching. You couldn't help but see that and ask, what is this?
Yeah.
Which, you know, is
and just on a side note, St. Lawrence, man, I remember one of there was so many dirty tricks, and it was so this mega corporation coming into this tiny community of people. They thought they had it. They thought they had a win. They actually went into the lower income neighborhoods here in Hudson along State Street and around Bliss Towers, and they distributed free t-shirts that said support the plant along with free hot dogs. So it's like you can get a t-shirt and a hot dog if you just ignore the fact that you'll have cancer in 10 years, lung cancer from the cement plant. So it was like it's this amazing divide and conquer, and it actually divided the community. Maybe you could actually speak a little bit about that. You're in a little bit of a different context than, say, the city of Hudson. You're in a sort of rural, low population community up there in Catskill, where you have slightly different demographics of individuals living there. I don't know exactly what it's like over there, but what could you talk a little bit about what the community organizing might be like to develop opposition to this pipeline? And would there be some kind of divide and conquer strategy they might try to pull, or have there been any? What are the supporters of the pipeline in your neighborhood like? what's the angle here? Creating jobs? It's not going to create any jobs, is it?
It's hard to find any supporters.
Okay.
A few issues that have come up as questions for people who, you know, even just looking for any potential reason to support the pipeline. So the question of jobs, they have said that they will be creating 40 permanent jobs. This is along the entire pipeline route from Linden, New Jersey to Albany, New York. And of course, the majority of those jobs, of course, would need to be in Linden, New Jersey and in Albany, New York. So essentially no job creation. Of course, there's the offer to private property owners of a little bit of cash in order to use their property. But again, it really makes very little sense when you look at the fact that once there's a pipeline on or even near your property, two pipelines, your property values plummet. So if you ever are looking to leave your property to your family or sell it, you're kind of out of luck. I mean, you might have made $2,000 or, you know, whatever it is that they're offering on the spot, but your property value is destroyed and you're losing a whole lot more than what they gave you. The biggest issue that I've seen them trying to use to divide people is about the bomb trains. And ironically, they have never even claimed to be taking any bomb trains off the tracks. But of course, they don't mind when people make that assumption and they use that. People are starting to learn a lot about the bomb trains, and people are scared, and they should be, because these things are incredibly dangerous. The pipelines are just as dangerous. There are different dangers, and what Pilgrim wants to do is to increase the oil infrastructure. They're not taking a single bomb train off the tracks. They do claim that they're going to take a couple of barges off the river, which they claim market forces will do that, but now that the export ban on American oil has been lifted, those market forces are out the window, and everything is going to be used. The trains are going to be used, the barges are going to be used, and the pipelines are going to be used as much as possible if they think they can make the money off of it. But there is currently not one single bomb train that goes from Albany, New York to Linden, New Jersey, and that is the route of the pipeline. So they would only be increasing the bomb trains in order to bring these trains into Albany to fill the pipeline at its start.
And bomb trains are the trains full of the crude oil coming from the Bakken region, which are highly volatile, which can just explode. We had in the most rural area up in Quebec, I think it was, just right in the middle of a tiny little village, and there were scores of people killed. I mean, it might have
47 people killed.
What was it?
47 people killed, and the town is gone.
Yeah,
so the town literally
47 might not sound a lot compared to like Stalin, whose birthday it is today. But when you're talking about a tiny village in Quebec, that's the entire village.
Yes.
You know, you know,
and I'm sorry, I said exterminated. That's not right. There were 47 people killed, but the town itself no longer exists.
Okay.
It was destroyed as a
right. But
place.
I just you know, it's like 47 people. I don't know how many people lived in that town up in Quebec, but it's like if 47 people were all of a sudden one day blew up in Hudson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be huge impact. People would really consider what happened, why did it happen, and how will this never happen again? It's, you know, that's a lot of people in a small town.
Yeah. Well, or if you look at the risks to somewhere like Albany, which is incredibly densely populated, I can't even fathom. So, you know, building this pipeline is going to increase those risks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are just about at the 5 o'clock hour. I would like to play another song. We actually had a request. And we've been talking about the river. We've been talking about rivers and the potential for these pipelines to completely contaminate rivers. Well, also, like, they've been shipping this stuff down in barges, too, on the Hudson River. And if one of those barges, God forbid, malfunctions because of some cheap Chinese steel on some steering mechanism, that's it. All the cleanup in the Hudson River out down the tubes. Arielle Herman, I want to say thank you again for coming in on the Monday afternoon show. You are always more than welcome. Give us the info again to how do we stop Pilgrim Pipeline, at least to get connected and find out what's going on here.
Well, to learn more about it and to reach out for contact, you can go to stoppilgrimpipeline.com. And they will direct you to your local CAP branch. CAP would be Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipeline. Or you can email me directly at capgreenulster@gmail.com.